My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. That signature tune, on its first appearance, was greeted with a veritable storm of apathy. And it introduces our familiar foursome: John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norden. And here is a very familiar singing voice to start us off.
Once there was an awful lot of nothing, just nothing. No sun, no moon, no stars, no earth, no nothing, no nothing.
Yes, that's Friend Ian at the start of a song by Paddy Roberts. But John, who in posher musical terms set to music the creation, also the flood, and for good measure the end of the world? Different composers, of course. Who set the creation to music?
Well, there's Darius Milhaud.
Yes.
Or there's Joe Haydn.
Yeah, they'll do. How about The Flood?
The Flood, well, there's Stravinsky, and there is Benjamin Britten.
Noyes' Flood, that's right. And The End of the World. Who set that to music?
The End of the World.
La Fin du Temps.
La Fin du Temps. Ah, Olivier Messiaen.
Yes, a little quartet, that's right. The song that Ian was singing on that record was called The Architect. Dear old Paddy Roberts, nice one. Frank, for you,
yes,
I've got a fine body of men for you. Here they are. The band of Her Majesty's Royal Marines, conducted by Sir Vivian Dunn, in a march called Entente Cordiale. What is or was the Entente Cordiale, Frank, and when approximately did it start?
Sticky sweet. No, it isn't. it's the idea that the French and the British foreign officers should stop being beastly to each other.
Yes.
and it started... The Entente... started about 1850, but it came apart, so they got beastly again. Then it was restarted by, of all people, King Edward VII.
That's the
Because he liked the Parisian ooh-la-la.
Yes. Round about 1904. Splendid answer. Yes, absolutely true. Frank, your friend Sir Peter Ustinov said once, the Entente Cordiale is founded on a long history of mutual jealousy and mistrust.
Absolutely.
That's about right, yes.
Hold on, Pete.
Ian, your turn.
Tell me, pretty maiden, are there any more at home like you?
There are a few kind, sir, like simple girls and proper too.
Then tell me, pretty maiden, what this very simple girl is to?
Yeah, lovely,
isn't it lovely,
lovely, lovely song. Ian, tell me, is this true or false? The heroine of the musical comedy Floradora is a young milliner who falls in love with a crown prince in disguise.
No, I don't think it's about that at all. It's that Floradora was an island.
That's right. Yeah. I was trying to lead you astray, yes, exactly.
And...
Floradora, after which a perfume was named, is in the show An Island in the Philippines.
Yes, you're quite right.
Not a girl at all. Right. Dennis, these were the Dorseys in their young days. Dennis, five pairs. Which pair doesn't belong in this list? Mercer and Duke Ellington, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Herb and Glenn Miller, Winton and Branford Marsalis. Do you want them again? Mercer and Duke Ellington,
yeah.
Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Herb and Glenn Miller, Winton and Branford Marsalis. One of that
well,
doesn't belong.
The majority of them seem to be
brothers.
Yeah.
But Mercer Ellington was Duke Ellington's son.
Duke Ellington's son.
Well, yes, no, that's right. Yes.
Winfred Marsalis is an Italian dessert, as Frank was just about to say.
Yes, actually, musical brothers, all except the Ellingtons, that's right.
Bros, they were, weren't they?
They were Bros in their fashion, that's right, yeah. Several misapprehensions have grown around these My Music programmes. One of them is the notion that Frank always does badly in the piano medleys. In fact, for several years, he always groaned loudly whenever I said a piano medley was coming up.
You're not are you?
Point of fact, he does very well in them, like now, for instance. Later, I have to tell you, it's Schumann from Carnival.
Oh,
it's Eusebius from Carnival. So you didn't get that. Then came Frank.
Chloe?
Yes, all right. Yes.
Joey Cologne. In the Black of Night.
Yeah.
I've got here. Carina mia. Yeah. Or someone. What? What?
Giannina mia.
Gianni, I said that.
One more from you.
Sweet somebody or other. Is it Molly Malone?
You know this one?
Sweet Molly Malone.
No, she's...
Or was something like
pretty
that,
sweet. No, I can't give you that. Peggy O'Neill she was, actually. And then...
Well, it's near enough. With that absolutely indecipherable line, she's my Skinamalusha, Skinamalusha, Rose O'Day.
Rose O'Day, that's right. Mm-hmm. Did you know the next one, Ian?
Really?
Yes,
oh, yes,
right.
Yes.
And then I played.
Drag me to the altar.
Lead me to the altar, yes. The Walter, Gracie Fields song.
Oh, and what a wonderful song.
Yeah. And the last one, please.
Yes, we have no bananas.
Yes, we have no bananas. That's right. Here's a piece of musical information so obscure that I think the best thing to do is to ask each of you in turn what your explanation is. Though I think we really must leave John till last, just to be on the safe side, because he may well know the answer. The fact, then, is that Louis Spohr did something on the 19th of June 1820 that had not been done before. What was that? Frank.
He was the first Austrian musician to remove his wife once without touching his trousers.
Yes?
You're going to pretend that it's not true, aren't you?
It's not in Grove, but it may well be true.
It may well be true.
Right.
I told you, what should you spell?
That'll do for Frank. Ian, what did he do that had not been done before?
This is the one
musical. It's something musical.
It's up to you, isn't it?
This is the one who comes into the Mikado song. With Bach interwoven with Spohr and Beethoven,
Louis Spohr.
Spohr was, apart from being a composer, was the violinist, and things were a bit slack. And he had the idea, and he was the first person to ever do it. He said, "Right, I'm going round to the opera house this evening, and I'm going to busk the queue."
Yes, and did. 1820, 19th of June, can't fault it. Dennis.
He was a xylophone player, and he was the first xylophone player to play the xylophone standing up in a hammock.
Yes.
with his wife once on his head.
Yes. It's only one of many things you can't do standing up in the hammock. Finally, to John. Actually, I got this information from an article by John. I don't know if he can remember it now, but what did Louis Spohr do in 1820 that's not been done before?
The first person to conduct an orchestra with a baton.
Baton, that's right.
I mean, what's his name? The Lully. People had done it with rolls of paper and sticks and things, he was the first person to use a baton.
Yes,
I used to do it with a knitting needle when they used to play dance music on the radio.
Anyway, that's Louis Spohr. Used the baton to conduct at a Philharmonic Society concert, actually, in London, where it all happened. Would you like to listen to some really superb piano playing? Did you say anything, Frank?
What are you giving us?
Well, I'm giving you a bit of a record, actually. We leave the identity of the pianist open for the moment and just ask John, tell us, please, the title of the piece that he or she is playing.
I think it's from the Funeral March Sonata of Chopin.
Number? Do you have a number for it?
The second sonata. Second. The piano B-flat minor opus 35.
That's right. The second piano sonata.
On. I was wondering, what on earth is Steve going to ask me?
Well, I will tell you, because that's the scherzo from that sonata. Frank, odd sort of word, scherzo. What does it mean? Where's it from? And, actually, how do you spell it?
Well, Den and I used to have a little joke about this in radio. It's a short scherzo, which is a sort of frothy little piece.
Oh, yeah. Come to think of it, yes. Which is about right. It's what it means, really, isn't it? Yes, frothy little piece.
Yes, of course. That's why I said it.
Yeah, literally.
Well, it's
you're not always so logical.
S-C-H-E-R-Z-O. Roughly, give or take a syllable.
Literally Italian, meaning a joke, a jolly piece or movement. Ian, the pianist we heard just now, was born in Kiev. He gave, this was in 1922, 15 concerts for which he was paid merely in food and clothing.
Chicken, was it?
Only 11 years later, he married Toscanini's daughter. He had a brother who was a throat specialist in London. Any idea of his name?
Not the brother's name, I take it.
Well, same name, same surname, yes.
Horowitz.
Yes, Vladimir Horowitz.
I saw Natan Milstein, the famous violinist, and he told me that he was once with Horowitz. They were very good pals, and they were in Switzerland, and it was the time of the Nazis were doing horrible things, and they were listening intently to the radio, and they suddenly heard a voice saying that they were now going to play some music in memory of the pianist Vladimir Horowitz, who just recently died. And Horowitz said, "But I am not dead." "But what wonderful publicity."
a true showman, yes. Vladimir Horowitz. Dennis, another musical Horowitz, who happens to be a friend of mine, so don't knock him, composed this catchy waltz. From a ballet by Joseph Horowitz, based on the story of Alice in Wonderland. But that's not the proper title of the book, Dennis, Alice in Wonderland.
It's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Do you happen to know which year it was published? There we go.
I know it was 7 years before Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yes, that's right. Which was in 1872.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Well, then you could work it out, can't you?
Yes, you can indeed. In the BBC, it's known as spotting through a record. In the case of an LP, what you do is you drop the needle here and there, looking for the particular bit you want on the record. It's not recommended if you care about your discs, but it is a useful technique. In the case of CD records, of course, you can't do that. What it amounts to is that a well-known recording artist can be identified by just a syllable or two out of context. And here's the proof. John. Yeah, John. Whose voice is this?
To a part, the hen room, I shall be...
Four bits out of an LP by...
Is it Fisher Dieskau?
From Rochdale.
No. The inimitable.
Yes, of course, the inimitable. Gracie Fields. Dame Gracie Fields, yes. Frank, who is this reduced to the odd split second? What name appears on the label of this LP?
He's cause a tree. Steel. Where does he say?
Are you alone here tonight? It's the ink spots.
Yeah, it is the ink spots, that's right. Ian, a solo singer for you. Any idea?
It sounds as if it's a boy soprano.
Yes.
Well, I would take a bit and say it's Aled Jones.
Yes, Aled Jones. Dennis, again, a solo singer.
I've a purple tongue. Ernie says we sign.
It's a bit too minimalist for me, I think.
When Bernie says sign, we sign. That bit of that line was.
No,
my attorney Bernie, don't you? No. The third one was just piano, which is...
Is it Blossom Dearie?
Blossom Dearie, yes. Blossom Dearie, yes. I think you didn't quite get that, not quite.
That is her real name, isn't it?
Blossom Dearie, Blossom yes. Dearie. She was Mrs. Jasper for a while, but she's actually Blossom Dearie. It's her name, yeah. I've noticed something. My engagement diary quite often seems to contain the initials R-A-H. There may be some obvious explanation for this, but perhaps you can come up with an unobvious explanation. R-A-H.
Yeah. Well, I haven't... I know.
You do?
You sure you want me to...
Yeah, I'm afraid I
you
do.
Want, you want. It's Rachel Alice Harbottle. And I'm not a tittler-tattler, as you know. Sorry. And her presence in your diary is a matter between you and your conscience. I'll say no more.
No. Well, I've been rumbled. Yes. John, any idea?
Am I not allowed to say what I think it really is?
No, no, you're not allowed to say that.
Well, I think I'll leave the jokes to the other fellows.
All right, yeah. Ian, have you a thought for R-A-H?
Well, I've had a couple, depending on sort of what time of year it was. It could be Reserve Ascot Hospitality.
Oh, yes, 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 that's good. You've had time to think about this, haven't you?
or it could be... Rehearse Amateur Horn Players.
Oh, yes, that's right. Horn Players being hyphenated, of course.
But I think, yeah. Like Frank, it's an assignation. I think it's actually Ring Anita Harris.
She's
There's the cat among the pigeons.
Yes, she's much prettier than Miss Harbottle. Dennis, R-A-H, what can it mean?
Well, whenever I have it in my diary, it means run and hide. It means the...
That's Miss Harbottle again, isn't it? Well, John, all together now, R-A-H stands for...
Royal Albert Hall.
Yes, Royal Albert Hall. Exactly.
But when I was working with Beecham, for contractual reasons, they wanted to call the Royal Philharmonic something else. And they thought about Royal Albert Hall Orchestra, and Royal Albert Hall wouldn't stand for it. So Beecham suggested we call it the Albert Hall Orchestra. And we got a little way with that when I got a very angry call from a gentleman who said, look, my name's Albert Hall and I've got an orchestra. Clear off.
Yeah.
And we
Albert
did.
Hall ensemble. Yes.
The first of our closing songs tonight poses a question. What'll I do? I think I'll just play a four-bar intro for Frank and see what happens.
What'll I do? You are far away, and I am blue. What'll I do? What'll I do when I am wondering who is kissing you? What'll I do? What'll I do with just a photograph to tell my troubles to? When I'm alone with only dreams of you that won't come true, what'll I do?
Oh, you tease. It's John's turn to whistle again, this time an operatic aria, Caro Nomi, no less.
Piece, you can detect it's the biggest espadista in the world.
We got her on the brain a bit. We got her on the brain this week. If you're called Binns, you can adopt Dennis's song as your own, or not if you'd rather not.
Be only me, a member of a family called Binns. Me mother's just increased the population with some twins. A lovely girl, a bouncing boy, they're neither mumps nor quinses. We've had a family gathering to name the Binns's twinses. Eric and Veronica suggested Auntie Monica. To nurses they removed the safety pins. Cecil and Cecilia, or Hamlet and Ophelia, were some of the names they tried to bung on Mrs. Binns's twins. Called the daughter Pansy, said the curate, looking coy. Nay, said Sister Susie, folks will think she is a boy. Oh, call them what the heck you like, said Uncle Benji Binns. But what about something to drink? The elf and Mrs. Binns's twins.
There's an old-fashioned style of piano playing that just occasionally I indulge in private, of course, you understand. Anyway, when Ian said he'd like to sing Ray Noble's The Very Thought of You, the very thought of it was enough to make me remember the same composer's Love is the Sweetest Thing.
Thought of you, and I forget to do
the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Thank you.
Two songs by Ray Noble, and which twosome wins our quiz tonight? Guess. Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the programme was produced by Richard Edis.